Today's program was brought to you by Union Beer Distributors. For more information, visit unionbeerdist.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. And it's Oktoberfest in New York City with Sylvester's Yodeling. It's the true. And we started off last week with Lars from Reinheitsboden, and we talked a little bit about some of the German styles. And we're waiting for our friend Sylvester Schneider from Zum Schneider. So he's on the show as well as Lars from Reinheitsboden and our good friend Katharina Martinez for a New York City perspective on a new and growing New York City brewery. So welcome to the show. Welcome to Heritage Radio Network. It's Tuesday, September 26, 2017. Beer Sessions Radio is brought to you by Union Beer Distributors, suppliers of world-class ales and lagers. And if you have any questions for us, you can Instagram or tweet us at beer_sessions. So, Sylvester, will you do that yodeling one more time? So the thing for me is that, you know, and Katarina, that's one reason you're here with us, is that, you know, you're a New Yorker, a New York brewer. I've never quite gotten the whole Oktoberfest message. Like, I was in Munich years ago for Fasching, which is like the Carnival Mardi Gras. But I never quite understood why there was an Oktoberfest, especially in New York. So Lars, and it's kind of a battle. You guys are both hosting Oktoberfest events, and you're going to talk about that. So Lars and then Sylvester.
We had some fists flying already earlier.
So you guys tell us a little bit about why Oktoberfest in New York City and some backstory on Oktoberfest, what it means to you guys.
Well, Jimmy, good to be on the show again, just like last
Prost.
Week.
Prost. First thing is first, right? We're going to drink.
Sharing some good beer.
Prost.
No, I've, you know, my passion has always been about beer and importing beer from good old Germany. And, you know, I had many, many Oktoberfests in this city, probably more than in Germany. And it was... it was a fun time to be associated with a lot of Oktoberfest here. And when opportunity came up to have my beer being a feature beer for a large Oktoberfest in Brooklyn, of course, I jumped on it. And I'm looking forward to hosting, you know, the Brooklyn Oktoberfest at in Greenpoint, October 20th to the 22nd. So
I hope you didn't brew too much because you're going to sit on it afterwards.
I hope not. But
well, the kind of the battle is also the beers we're drinking here today. So, Sylvester, what beer are we drinking right now?
Right now we're drinking the Zum Schneider exclusive Hofbräuhaus Traunstein, which, funny enough, Lars actually helped me to bring it into the country many years ago.
Right.
Well, we have two exclusives. It's the Traunstein Beyond the Andex, which I decided to do our own stuff years ago when everybody and their mother opened a German beer hall and thought they're doing something special, serving Spaten and Paulaner. So we brought in our own stuff, and since 4 years we do the tent, the Munich on the East River tent, and the two breweries are brewing especially for that event a number of kegs for us.
So Hofbräuhaus Traunstein?
Traunstein, yeah. Not to be confused with HB München, Hofbräuhaus München. Totally
and then
different.
What about the Andex beers? Which beers?
Like Hofbräuhaus München, Hofbräuhaus Traunstein are probably as much as rivals as our two Oktoberfests are here in New York.
This is not Katharina. You don't know what you're in for. We're having these guys pose as boxers. And
I love this because I brought a juicy Northeast IPA to this today, and you guys are serving me this delicious German beer. This is wrong, but it's okay.
So this is Traunstein. Why is it called Traunstein? Is that the brand, or this is a style?
No, that's the city.
Yeah.
It's a city. It's like a medium-sized city. How many, what do you think, like 800,000 or so?
No.
No?
800,000?
No.
The city is tiny.
No, it's not tiny. It's still, it's not a village. It's definitely a small city.
I would say 50,000 to 100,000 maybe.
Okay. I'm bad with numbers. But it's on the foothills of the Alps, and I think one of their secrets is the water. Mm-hmm. They just have such good water. And they just also, I mean, you see this. This is a very light-looking beer for an Oktoberfest beer. Also, their lager is even lighter looking than this. And this is really something I've never experienced with any beer in the world, is that you have such a light color and you have so much flavor. And that's their craft. That's their art. You know, that's what they're best at. Yeah.
And I think all those all the Oktoberfest style beers that are out today in the pale Oktoberfest that are served at Oktoberfest are around 13.5 point gravity versus 11 to 12 of a Pilsner, or Helles Lager. So you have more gravity, you have more body, you have a little bit darker color than a Helles would have. So that also reflects in the flavor.
Katerina Martinez, mm-hmm. Lineup Brewing, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
You've been open for a year now.
Serving beer for God, what month is this? 9 months. A little bit less than that, actually. Serving beer legally, anyway. we were just serving beer anyway.
The last 25 years illegally, but.
We're, cranking. I'm actually expanding, which is crazy already. Needing to grow bigger than that little one barrel system. So,
how many hectoliters do you do?
Oh God, I don't know the.
This is the translation show. Say it in whatever barrels, and he'll translate.
Yes. So the current sort of the system we were on was a one barrel system. I'm moving right now into a 15 barrel system, which is obviously a lot more beer. And then I'm also brewing. I have a fermenter at Great South Bay in Long Island, which is my sister brewery, and that's a 30-barrel fermenter, so it's a lot more beer for sure coming out of Lineup. We had to. I didn't realize how fast we were going to have to scale.
Congratulations. Yeah. That's awesome.
And you've been so busy, I probably haven't seen you since you opened.
I know. I'm very proud of you. Crazy. Thank you.
We're going to get more to what you're doing, but let's talk more about October. Does Oktoberfest mean anything to you as a New Yorker?
Beer-wise, culture-wise. This last weekend, I went with my first employee. Her name's Simone Schroeder, and her parents are straight from Germany, and they were in town. So I had both of them there. They made her dress up, and we had the best Oktoberfest in downtown New York. And they
Where did you go?
We went to Stone
Street. I think
she's
my friend on Instagram.
Yeah. She's very German. So, it's great to have her.
Don't tell me you went to Watermark.
Oh, my gosh. We went to Stone Street, which was a disaster, but it was still really fun. So, we got, the real traditional German beers there, Polliner, but Six Point sponsors it as well. They made an Oktoberfest. We went to the Brooklyn Breweries event, which is Puree, and they also made an Oktoberfest. So a lot of the local breweries make beer for this as well, which is great.
But as a brewer, why would a New York or American brewery make an Oktoberfest style beer when there's so many from Germany? And the season's not that long. I mean, you were joking, Sylvester, that you're going to have all this beer left over after Oktoberfest.
I won't. Lars will.
I mean, it's a holiday.
Look, your question is, what is Oktoberfest doing in New York City? Valid question, but, the trend gets started and then everybody hops on the bandwagon if it works financially, And this is what's going on right now. There's one wannabe Oktoberfest after another opening up in New York, and they all suck. And I say that not out of my own opinion. I say that of the voice of my customers that come in after they've been to such an event into our place and say, Sylvester, this was just horrible. We were drinking horrible flat beer out of plastic cups. They were playing Prince music on the speakers. And people were there in Linenhosen. Thank you.
Thanks for the revelation. I don't know if we'll have to keep the show going or not. So, what makes an Oktoberfest, authentic or fun? Or what is your Oktoberfest like?
Well, we put up a tent that is as close as possible to a real Munich Oktoberfest tent. We spend a lot of money on decoration and decking out the whole place. We brought over the original furniture. We have an original menu that has the half roast chicken and the pork shanks
on one plate.
on one plate?
You have pork shank and half roast chicken?
No.
The same plate.
Two plates.
Oh, two plates.
Two plates, I'm sorry. See, this is American, yeah? They just want to make everything bigger.
now you got your thinking.
But then they put it in a plastic cup. You know, plastic cup. We have on our tourist simply only a 1 liter mug, a Muss. It's called a Muss. That's all you want to see on Oktoberfest. If you go to Munich, the kids are drinking their Coca-Cola out of a Muss. So that's what makes an Oktoberfest. What makes an Oktoberfest too is you have some games, you have some gingerbread hearts, you have some sweets, you know, you have, of course, the giant pretzels, and of course you have a great band, which happens to be my band.
I've heard you play at Christmas at Zum Schneider. You do an awesome. And what's your instrument? It's not a keyboard.
I'm a drummer. I'm really a drummer and singer. I'm the front pig of the band. I get the people up on the benches. That's my job, and I love doing it. And I have an amazing, amazing, amazing band behind me that are all professional musicians and really, really great guys.
So you do all this just so you can play in a band?
That's right.
Wow. that's how you support the arts, guys.
Put it on the point.
Otherwise, there's no art. So cheers to you, man.
We need more beer, I think.
And
right?
Your Oktoberfest event. Last week, we talked a little bit about the Oktoberfest style Märzen. Yeah. If someone wants to talk about that style, they can. Right. But I'm interested in your event. You're partnering with an operator from Philadelphia.
Yeah. Doug Hager, the owner of Brauhaus Schmidt, has been a good old friend of mine. And, you know, I ran into...
That's the Andex, yeah.
I told him about a space in Greenpoint that I thought was a nice venue. And he, within a day or two, reached out to the person that owned it and got the contract signed. So we jumped on it, or he jumped on it, and said, all right, Lars, we're going to feature your beers exclusively. And without touting my horn, I think I picked a really amazing lineup of beer for that Oktoberfest that rivals anybody, because it is all German craft beer, Bavarian, Baden-Württemberg. We're going to have an unfiltered Helles Lager that is 5.5%. It is towards an Oktoberfest beer, but I'm filtered.
No, he's not getting any more from me.
is this fresh beer just from the keg?
This is from the keg, straight from the keg at Zum Schneider. Yeah.
And then we're doing a Landbier. Lars, we're doing a Märzen style beer as well, and a Hefeweizen. So the three main beers that are served out of the liter mugs are a dark, a Hefeweizen, and a unfiltered Helles. So, and then we have the range of the ultra craft, if you will. We'll be serving IPAs, double IPAs, Emmer wheat beer. We'll do some pilsners right off the ball. We have a separate section for that. So I think as far as German beer selection, the variety of German beer selection, that we'll have the widest beer selection. If that's, whether that's what people want, we'll see. Of course, it's about, going to Oktoberfest, having a couple Maß is certainly the major objective. And what Brauhaus Schmidt brings to the table as well is authentic food, authentic menu. And they have a award-winning chef that is going to be on.
Well, I like what you've been doing with Reinheitsboten, where you really do have a lot of different styles, different grains. Last week we tried your Landbier. Yeah. I know later on this show you're going to taste us on a number of Doppelbocks.
Yeah. Probably... I know the Traunstein and Andex breweries better than most people in this country because I've been there. I've stayed overnight at the monastery several times. I've been at Traunstein, and those people are absolutely amazing. I mean, that those beers are just spot on.
Here we go,
amazing.
Prost, Andex.
One of my favorite shows with both of you guys a few years ago was you had in the priest from Andex, and I think Sylvester was were translating.
Monk.
And you translated. We had a little German-English show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pater Valentin.
You guys can talk a little bit in German in between.
Jimmy, das war viel Spaß, auf jeden Fall.
Na, jedenfalls hat ganz schön geschimpft, dass er vollgespritzt hat beim U-Zapfen, ne?
Ja, das stimmt.
One thing I love about...
He tapped the keg at Zum Schneider, and I was so nervous, I think, or whatever it was. I gave him the wrong tapping stuff. And he tapped it, and the half of the keg exploded into his face.
And imagine he was so in his dress, in his robe, right? And it was a full evening for me to soften everything, to make sure that, hey, no, this didn't happen on purpose, and please.
So yeah, he thought we did this on purpose to show factor.
And you still have the Andex exclusives.
Yeah,
you didn't lose.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah, look, you know.
One thing but for me, like German
beer. With a few Hail Marys, you
culture,
pass it.
Food. I think that Germany goes really deep with culture and food. And one concept that I love is Gemütlichkeit, which is tell us what Gemütlichkeit is.
Gemütlichkeit, I mean, with the band, we translated on our album the song ein Prosit der Gemütlichkeit, ein Prosit der Gemütlichkeit, which means coziness. That was the closest translation we could really come up with. But to me, it's just the gathering, the socializing of all people of all ages, of all colors and beliefs. In Bavaria, of course not, because everybody's Catholic. But
that's nice. And then I will say, then that's like in Copenhagen, and now they have hygge. Hygge is also the new trend. It's the same kind of thing. Gemütlichkeit, hygge.
Hygge, yeah.
So let's make a toast to Gemütlichkeit and hygge. And we'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
In 1996, Sheehan Family Companies, formerly L. Knife & Son, acquired Union Beer Distributors, which was originally located on Union Avenue in Brooklyn. Union Beer has since expanded to its present location alongside the English Kills Canal in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. It has grown dramatically in the last decade as the primary distributor of Anheuser-Busch products for Brooklyn and parts of Queens through the hiring and development of the best people in the industry. In 2003, Union Beer acquired a powerful catalog of specialty brands, which immediately positioned them as the craft beer supplier to accounts in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten Island, and Long Island. Union perpetually tweaks their portfolio to maintain the highest level of stylistic breadth with the most coveted brands available. Through the highest possible level of service, outstanding salesmanship of the ultimate lineup of brands, and a paramount focus on education at all levels, Union Beer has solidified its position as the only source for the best selection of beers in the seven counties of southeastern New York. For more information, visit unionbeerdist.com.
Hey. Sylvester.
What's up?
Yodelin.
What's up? Yodelity.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey, check us out, heritageradionetwork.org. Become a member and get lots of benefits. But this is a cool show. This is our, like, last week we were warming up, waiting for Sylvester with Lars. And now we're talking with Sylvester from Zum Schneider, Lars from Reinheitsboten, the Battle of the Oktoberfest, or what Oktoberfest means to New York City when Katarina Martinez from Lineup Brewing. So last week we talked about some of the German styles, how things had changed. You know, the 1830s, you know, with English pale malts and, you know, a big change in styles happened then around the world. We ended up talking about Doppelbocks and some of the historical German styles. So, Lars, we're going to taste some Doppelbocks and then tell us about some of the styles historically.
Easy.
Well, so I brought two Doppelbocks. Right now, we're actually trying the Landbier again from Distelhäuser because I really wanted Sylvester to try this. And
he's trying to sell me beer in the radio show.
That's audio ale salon, bro.
It's not enough he invades me at my place without any warning. No, now he comes and tries to push stuff in the radio show.
Yeah, it's. I make
they
a good
like
price.
You, Sylvester.
I make a good price. No, so I brought the Donato Pale Doppelbock, and for comparison, I brought the Riegele Pale Doppelbock as well. So usually Doppelbocks are dark. It's actually much harder to make a pale Doppelbock because you need longer time to get the ABV up to about 8.3, 8.5%. So that'll be an interesting comparison for us to go through in a second. But again, right now we're trying the Distelhäuser Landbier. With a lot of amber, dark, medium amber color, a lot of maltiness to it.
Katarina is a great taster. I mean, you were an award-winning home brewer. You were in the BJCP class last year.
Yes.
This is, so you this
tell
is us, a beer you can...
You want to give us some tasting notes on this?
Yeah, it's wonderful. Just very caramely. The color's fantastic. Jimmy saw me go through these BJCP classes, which were basically just you know, going through all of the styles. And this is one of my favorite styles of beer. So that's very delicious. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, you know, this is what it's all about. It's easy drinking. You can have a couple of mouths of this and not have a headache. And I feel a lot of times when I drink beers here, I after a liter and a half, I have a terrible headache. And this would not happen here. I don't know. It's fermented for at least 4 weeks. I mean, it's in the tanks for at least 4 weeks. Fermented 7 to 10 days.
But what is it? I think Germans and Americans must have a different attitude about what beer is. Because before we were at the bar, and Sylvester took one of the beers and just drank it.
They don't.
But he drank it like it was a beverage.
It
wasn't alcohol.
Look, it's the new world. You know, everybody's trying to find a new thing that is maybe better than the old thing. But most of them fail, unfortunately, because the old thing is just so long perfectionized. I don't even know the English word. Right.
You know, Sylvester, when I first, going back to the love of German culture and beer, when I was first considering opening Jimmy's Number 43 in 2005, the one issue was there was only a beer license only available. And I thought, how can you open a beer only place? And I said, well, I love Zum Schneider. That's one place where I go to when I like the beer. And I said, I'm going to go for it. And so you inspired me way back then, 12 years ago. Without you, I never would have opened Jimmy's Number 43.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's true. What's a good a comment you can say in German for that? Like a toast after that.
Schön. Das ist ziemlich unglaublich eigentlich. Aber der Sylvester war schon immer ein Vorreiter, is what I'm saying. So he's been a trendsetter. He's been around for ages in general terms of bar average lifespan. He's doing a lot of things right, for sure.
I just lucked out. I had the right amount of homesickness at the right time at the right place. Okay, and that's what it was. So we were the first ones of the new generation of Germans, German Gastlichkeit in New York. And it worked really well. Our best years were the first.
But cheers.
Years.
You've always done everything right, and I've always liked Zum Schneider.
Thank you. Thanks. Thanks.
One of my favorite places in New York. So. Yeah, and Lars, more. So more beer. Yeah, let's go through this. Look at the history. So a little bit of history. So Andex, you know, we met the Monk several years ago. How far back does that brewery go?
Andex is a huge part of my upbringing. I was drunk for the first time when I was 8 years old in Andex. But I think I said this on the show before.
You did.
Were you an altar boy?
No. No, it's just like people from around there. I can't drink fast enough, guys. Jesus. There's one beer after another coming here, guys. I know you don't see it on the radio. They're just bringing a lot of beer here. Anyway, we tried all. We can use the bottle. But what's the history of Andex? I honestly don't know how old Andex is. 15-something, isn't it? Lars?
Now you're somewhere putting
around
me on that. The spot.
I think it's around 500-600 years. Yeah. It's been a monastery, and it's, I think, since the beginning, is the number one income of the monastery is beer. They also work together with the local milk producer, who's doing all sorts of cheeses and stuff like that, organic, and that is also called Andex. But their main income is beer, has always been beer. The monastery is for 80 monks, and now they have 6. So Mr. Valentin, who was on the show, is working very hard.
It's 14-something.
I go visit him every time I go there, or I try to. Oftentimes he's too busy. I'm not kidding. You know, he's serving three different communities. What do you call it? Dörfer.
Villages.
Villages, and you know, does all the weddings and the burials and the whatnot,
and they're supporting the kindergartens. It's a big operation. 1455, by the way.
Plus, any tourist who goes to Bavaria or Germany goes to Andex.
Yeah.
It's a huge tourist destination. I think financially they're doing fine, but the Pope has to do away with the celibacy, and then we'll have more monks again. Sorry.
Well, okay. I think that, David, that needs something, another applause or something. Yeah. Okay, so this beer, it's a pale Doppelbock.
Right, so this is the Riegele Speziator Pale Doppelbock that's in the tanks for a little bit over 30 weeks.
Nice color.
In order to mature to 8.3% ABV and has a lot of natural sweetness. And what it shares with the Donato that we try right after this is you have very little to none of the alcohol esters, appearances. You know, it just doesn't come up. And that only happens if you give a beer that time. So, and a lot of breweries certainly don't have that. It's very expensive to occupy a tank for that time.
But so, that's the tricky part about the pale Doppelbock.
Yeah.
I mean, I have this really quick story. Very, very beginning of Zumstatter, we always roast a pig for anniversary outside and for Mayfest. So we had our first, I think it was the first Mayfest, so we had a Maibock there. And Maibock is a light colored bock. Yeah. Right. And it goes down like lager. It just goes down and you just drink it. And, you know, the first pig was done. The second pig was supposed to go on. I put all the coal on. The coal was super hot and some idiot threw some paper on the grill. The whole thing went on fire. I went outside with a bucket of water and threw the water on it. I totally got burned by steam.
Wow.
And, you know, for the rest of the night, I was bartending, just having cold beer run over my hands every 5 seconds. But why did that happen? Because I was too drunk, because I drank too much of that pale Maibock.
Right.
Very tricky beer.
This is very good, though. Super deceiving, yeah.
I mean, Katarina, would you ever make a Bock? I mean, Bock, I always think Doppelbock, I think the dark beer, and maybe that's more for, you know, Lent, and we can talk about monks and living, you know, drinking bread, but... You know, pale box, my box. It's a different style, but it's
I mean, the pale versions usually have a more dry finish, which is very prevalent in this as well. I have made one in an attempt to make an ice bock, which is an investment, you can say, in time. Mm-hmm. We're talking about 2-3 weeks, 4 weeks even to you know, lager a good beer, but an ice bock takes. Over a year, a good one anyway, and that was my first one. Obviously, it was darker than this, but that's one of my favorite beers. So yeah. that was the main attempt was the ice bock, but this is lovely.
And maturing or keeping it at zero degrees Celsius, that's very hard feat. Yeah,
yes,
for the ice box. Yeah.
And why is Marzen the style of Oktoberfest? And there's other styles. We call them fest beers.
Well, that was originally the beer that was served at the first Oktoberfest, or for the very many first Oktoberfest, was a beer that was brewed in March to be mature in October. So you would start it in March. That's why it's Märzen. And back then, 1810, all the beers really were dark beers. Pale malts weren't around, so you couldn't brew a pale beer up until 1870s, 1860s, right. Around that, when pale malts came from England, and then Pilsner malts and all of that came around. But up until then, there was no pale beer. Yeah.
Jeez.
And then the Oktoberfest eventually moved over to pale beer too.
I have a blend here now. I'm not gonna do it. It's punch.
If you guys go to Sylvester's, what's the site for your East River Oktoberfest? Because it starts this weekend.
It's called Munich on the East River. You find it on zumschneider.com. It's the same website. It starts this Friday and goes for 2 weekends through the week as well. September 29th to October 8th. There's still tickets available.
So if you go to the website, there's a picture. The first picture, of course, is Sylvester with a nice green outfit with a beautiful woman. And that's kind of what you get, right?
Mina, what is he talking about?
That's what I know. But see, you really are the star. I will say this, that Sylvester, when he gets it with his band, it really gives it a life of its own, and I want to make a big, big cheers to
Thank
that.
You.
So, Lars, I don't know how you're going to top that, because it's really like, you know, without us Oktoberfest, you know, Sylvester wouldn't have any gigs, and he might have to become a stockbroker or something. But for you, like, how are you going
to
top it?
You're actually wrong about that, because everybody wants to hire us, but we refuse. We only play for Tim Schneider.
It's very hard to top that, and that's why we, you know, our Oktoberfest, or the Brauhaus Schmitz Oktoberfest, is at the end of October. And we're not competing time-wise, and, you know, it's going to be a different crowd. It's, we try to be as authentic as we can be with good beer, and I hope that that will set a precedent. You know, we are something different. We're not...
They're very good in copying the authenticity, you know? I have to say that.
You know, I'm German. What can you say? You know, it's going to be authentic because of me. No.
I'll tell you, when I see that photo on Instagram, you guys almost came to blows earlier. And I had to separate you, but
yeah, right.
It's okay. But the styles you have, I would say. Yep. I mean, I love Sylvester Selection beers. You also have some Schneider beers, too, at your fest. You have Schneider, Andex.
No, Schneider. We don't mix it up. We're just, like, really stubborn. We just do three different kinds of Oktoberfest beer. The Fest beer from Andex, the Fest beer from Traunstein, and this year for the first time, Weihenstephaner will be at the tent as well.
Mm-hmm. And then Lars, you're going to have how many different beers? Including some of these pale box.
Yeah, we'll have three of the main beers. The Land beer from Distelhäuser, we'll have the Friedenfelser Hefeweizen, we'll have the Zwickel Oktoberfest, or the Zwickel from Tollerhof in the main room, and then we have all our craft beers, including the pale ales, the double IPAs.
The new German beers.
The new German beers. We'll have them all at the tent outside. Yeah.
So right. What are we drinking right now? What is this?
This is the Donator.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Which is also available at Zum Schneider.
Available at Zum Schneider. Used to be, not anymore.
What?
It was a winter beer. It's a winter beer.
It's almost winter.
It's almost winter. You're right.
Yeah.
But a pale dog.
Still got 90 degrees outside, but it's almost winter.
Yeah.
Welcome to the new world.
Yeah.
Sylvester, you gonna do another yodel for me?
Yodel-a-dee-dee.
All right, man. That's a preview of what you're gonna get at Sylvester's Munich on the East River. Hey, we'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Oh. Great voice, man.
Like what you hear? Heritage Radio Network has plenty more. With fresh programming every week, we've got something for everyone. Trying to start your own food business? Concerned about where your food comes from? Looking for the best wine or beer to bring to a party? Find our shows on iTunes or Stitcher, or head to heritageradionetwork.org to listen live and subscribe to our newsletter. Fresh entrance before the break of day.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Sylvester.
Hello. Oh, that was a bad one.
He's warming up for Munich on the East River. Just starting. All right. Woo! That's right. You got to have it. I tell you, without Tim Schneider, this guy would not have a band. No, that's not true. Maybe would you be touring the country doing Oktoberfest with your band? Would you be band leader first if you didn't have a beer business?
It's a good question. I don't know if I would even be in an Oompa band without some Schneider. I mean, I played music since I was 15 years old. And if my bandmates back in the days when I was a teenager would have known that I'm going to be playing in an Oompa band 30 years from then, they would have kicked me out of the bands. But
Lars, when you first started, I met you. You were selling a number of different beers in New York City, including some of the German beers. What's it like selling beer to Sylvester?
Well, I started importing
this
beer.
This is a
actually,
safe space.
Actually, yeah, it's a safe space. Nobody's listening.
only started, in Germany.
I started importing beer in 2003, actually. So, and for the only reason of bringing in my my hometown beer, which was the Schwelmer Brewery way back when, and we built that up in a couple of years and started bringing over 24 containers.
Wait, what town was that from? Schwelm?
Schwelm, the town of Schwelm, which is between Düsseldorf and Cologne, and right next to where I grew up in the town called Ennepetal, which is near to Düsseldorf. And
so we have a rivalry. We have South Germany, North Germany.
No, and we have another rivalry because, or rather, he's in the middle of the rivalry between the Kölsch and the Düsseldorf.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I grew up right in the middle between Kölsches and Alts. You know, I would pick my carnivals. Either I would go to Düsseldorf or to Cologne. Yeah, very big sin. But, yeah, we imported a great alt beer from Schwelm Brewery until they shut down in 2009. And then I did something else in between and started then working for St. Kilian Importing, started working to bring in Andex and Traunstein. And, you know, those guys at that time were looking for a German-speaking guy that had experience in the beer import world, and you know, there were not too many around.
And then he deserted us. Yeah, he brought it in all rolling, and then he just left. You know, and then everything fell apart.
These are so good.
David likes you, Sylvester. You're good. Then we have, now we have Reinheitsboden. But,
now
but what's
it
like to sell to him? I mean, do you just like, typically, do salesmen just show up? Or they kind of know that they're only going to bring certain beers to you?
Salesmen still have not learned how to use a calendar. That's been like that since 17 years, since I have Tim Schneider. They just show up. I hate it. But in the end of the day, you know, it's fine because they always bring new beer and we try it and then we're all happy and merry.
So. Right. No, I try to get on Sylvester's schedule and we have a good time every time.
No, Lars is the exception to the rule.
There you go.
We know that. Cheers.
That's true.
So now, Katarina Martinez. Yeah. Line up.
Yeah.
You say her name.
Katarina Martinez.
Yes. That was really good, actually. Oh my god, I need to carry that with me wherever I go because it always comes out wrong.
So lineup, you started, you're in that little industry city thing.
Yeah, that's where we started, and now we're going elsewhere. So we have we're going through like lease negotiations, which is just an absolute disaster for breweries, but we found a spot that we really like,
can you say where it is?
Yes, I can. I'm going to knock on wood as I say it,
is
though.
It
in
New York City?
It's in Red Hook. Yes, Brooklyn. It's in Brooklyn. So I'm going to always stay in Brooklyn. That's where I want to be. We're brewing out in Long Island a bunch, but yeah, I'm excited. It's hard because you start to like get really superstitious about whether or not you're going to be able to get the spaces that you want in this process. It's a hard process. So
as a new New York City brewer, you know, first 9-10 months, what were the styles that were most, you know, well received?
Yeah,
and you saw most of it at your brewery, right?
Well, correct. So it isn't until October, I believe, 9th that we're delivering 30 barrels worth of beer around the city, so which is going to be a lot of beer. We're excited about it. We were selling, it was a one barrel system, so we were selling all within the tap room. It only makes sense to do that. Moving forward, you guys are going to see a lot more of us, which is exciting because we're going to be on tap at a lot of different places. So, and we're going to be on tap with this beer that you guys are drinking right now, actually. So,
what is it?
It's very nice.
Yeah, this is a...
See, the Germans like New York beer.
Thank you, yeah.
They actually really want to drink New York beer.
That's good. That's exciting to me. So this is a Northeast juicy IPA.
Sylvester will never be converted.
That's true.
He drinks it in one shot usually.
But, yeah, I usually drink the IPAs in one shot, which I will do on this and then see what happens.
Oh, jeez.
He brought his own photographer too, which is kind of awesome.
I was going to bring Erica, our accordionist, but she fell sick. So otherwise you would have had not only my horrible yodels, but you would have a beautiful accordion. But I have a question here.
Sure.
This is excellent. Very, very unfiltered.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, you know, all of you microbrewers, I have a house in Montauk. Actually, I have a restaurant in Montauk. And, you know, the Montauk Brewing Company, I'm sure you're familiar with.
Sure.
It's like the most promoted microbrew out there at the moment, I think. Because simply what they have going for themselves is the graphics. And that's about it. Because the beer is horrible. And every single one of them. So what's your...
It did become the beer of summer.
Well, yeah, it's everywhere. I mean, these guys, I pull my hat. I mean, congratulations, guys, on your PR work, but your beer sucks. Sorry, I say it straight out, and if I have no shame. I can't go back to Montauk ever again.
What's the question?
The question is, what do you think about that beer, honestly? And the other question is, why are these guys so much more successful than you?
It's because it's the only American beer he ever drinks.
So. Well, they're so much more successful because they've had more time. And I'm just going to be 1,000 times more successful than in a year.
Excellent. I like that. Bravo. Bravo.
Thank you.
I won't comment. Well,
let's steer this back
I like
to her.
That,
so.
Because this girl is really actually very humble and very cute and very sweet, and that she makes such a bold statement. I love that because I believe in her.
Well, Sylvester, would you sell any American beer at one of your places?
No.
You only sell German.
Yes.
All right. So.
What about German styles?
No.
So,
no,
Katarina, wow. Go back. Your popular styles, most popular styles, not Montauk Summer Ale that you've made.
It's
in this
funny.
Year.
I
because so, I want to know like what styles you'll be
yeah,
making
yeah.
going
so,
forward.
Yeah, so like I do make a German style beer. I make a German Pilsner, and it was one of my initial beers that I ever like opened with, and it has a really stupid name. It's called Bier Beyonce. Because I missed a Beyonce concert.
New York.
And but ever when I released it,
so
I then had
a
bunch of press about it, and like they called me. There was an article that said I was the Beyonce of beer, and like
Lars
so
is
it means
drunk.
Something to me. But yeah, I make a German Pilsner, and I'm going to make it again soon, and I'm actually going to can it. And I will surely give it to all of the people in this room because I really want to know. I want to know what you guys think of it. You know, obviously, I'm not German at all, but it's the style, hopefully.
I can't wait to taste it, but no offense. I just can't serve beers other than from Bavaria. I mean, Germany. I have a couple of German beers.
I respect that. 80%
Bavarian.
That's what you do.
Sorry, that's just what
so,
we do.
So I haven't even tried to sell to you
Laura,
yet.
So what do you guys what do you think of Katarina's beer? So this is what, a New England style IPA. Yep. It's very fresh.
Yeah.
So it's, I guess we didn't even talk about it yet. It's the first beer I just brought on a partner from San Francisco. And he is a really amazing brewer at a brewery called Bear Bottle out there, and he's moving back out here. We're very excited about it. His name's Cortland. So this beer is the first beer we made together that brings together both his style and my style. We're calling it I-80, which is the highway from San Francisco to New York City. So, and it's, yeah, it's, I mean, it's an East Coast, West Coast sort of a blend of things, but obviously it's the that.
Congratulations, buddy.
So, yeah, no, I'm excited.
All right.
About
congratulations.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your credit, I remember just a year and a half ago, you were at every event. You were talking about lineup. We had you on some special shows, and you were taking a BJCP class. And congratulations,
yeah,
Katarina.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's always great to hear about success. And, yeah.
No, I just want to make this comment real quick. Sorry. I know I'm too loud on the microphone, but we look out the window here into Roberta's pizzeria, and we have at least six different nations sitting out there, if you ask me, and that is New York, you know? And that's why I have to respect all of this different beer that's being coming out, because that is New York too, you know? Yeah. And we just had horrible elections in Germany where the far right-wing people reached over 13%. Hopefully, they'll be destroyed the next 4 years and be gone and over, because they are the people that are against this kind of stuff. And that's why we live in New York, because of the diversity. And it's great that we represent that in beer, too. Amen.
That's great. I'm going to back you up on that one. So did you know that in the Queen's library system alone, there's over 200, if you go to one of the main Queen's libraries, there's over 200 different languages represented in the literature section alone. How about that, buddy?
How's that?
That's New York City. Come on, David, give it up.
All right.
All right. So, That's right. That's diversity. But, and all diversity right. of beer style. So New England IPA. I'm really proud of you. So you got a partner coming in.
Yes.
Anything else? Give us a quick plug because we're not that much.
Yeah, I mean, just expanding.
Maybe in Red Hook.
Like, yeah, like that's the biggest thing right now. But in the next 2 weeks, the week of October 8th, you will see this beer. Please go buy it. It would mean a lot to me. And then the next 2 weeks after that, we're canning. So we're going to have some can releases.
Do you know a couple bars and establishments that will have your beer?
Yeah. I mean, I have a list of 100 that we're trying to go to right now. But always...
Tell us your two favorites.
My two favorites. Okay. I'm going to shout out Greenwood Park because they're my local... they're right next to the brewery in Industry City, and those guys are freaking awesome, and I love them. Barcade always, every single Barcade always supports me, so we'll be there as well.
Who's your cutest boy at Barcade? I know how this works.
My boy, Brian Winget.
I knew it! Brian! Tattoo guy. Yeah, love that guy. Brian Winget.
Next time you're on,
you got to bring him, because we've tried to get him on the show, and he worked a lot of Tuesdays.
Yeah. He works a lot, but Jimmy's my best friend. So,
Jimmy's way too familiar with all these bars. I never get to go to any other bars.
Guys, he has a girlfriend. Don't get me in trouble like that. Yeah. I just love him. He's adorable. He's one of my favorite people. So.
And then, Laura, let's knock out the last beer, too. And
all right.
Because our friend, our good buddy, is documenting every beer we drink on air for Untappd.
As she was saying.
Good buddy, Ethan. Thank you, Ethan.
I brought out a good Pilsner, and this is a good Pilsner.
Oh,
this is the Riedenburger Pilsner Organic Pilsner.
I know. It's for sale at Zum Schneider at the moment.
There you go.
Too expensive, though.
It's quality, you know?
If it's too expensive, don't you just charge more?
There you go. Exactly. Just charge more.
What do you charge for this at Zum Schneider?
I have no idea.
$8-$9?
You said it was too
He doesn't know anymore.
I think it's $6.
Hey, that's all right. Hey, so this is 100% organic. Even the water source is organic.
We're not rapists.
Okay. You know,
how can water be organic?
Water can be organic if you can prove that the water source in the deep well, that the land above the water source has never been treated with pesticides. That's how you can prove that a water source
is organic. Yeah, but you screwed up. You know, years ago I went to the brewery of München Hofbräuhaus, and the brewmaster said to me, I was very impressed about that comment. He said, it's absolutely wrong that we're tapping into this huge underground lake we're tapping in right now because the Munich well water is perfectly fine for brewing our beer. And we're tapping into a water that we actually need in about 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. And that's just wrong.
Yeah. Well, of course. I mean, water source is, I mean, what does water make up? 80-90% of any good beer. So, I think it's very important to have a good water source. And that's why...
Traunstein is such a good beer.
Yeah, you have 1,600 breweries in Germany, and most of these breweries are located at good water sources. You know, that's the primary factor to find a good location for your brewery.
Katerina, brewing in New York City, how's the water? And do you find it's different from even building to building? Do you have to treat it differently?
I wouldn't say... it depends on where you're at, frankly, and that's all I'm learning. New York City water in general, you treat the same way. It's already very great, but you definitely have to add some salts and things to it, I would say. It really depends on where you're at. Yeah, New York City water is legendary, right? We make amazing things from it. We make great bagels. We make great pizza. We make great beer.
The only thing you can't make with it is pretzels.
No, why not?
I don't know. You know, in 17 years, I have not found a baker who can make me an authentic Bavarian pretzel, and I think it's the water.
Have you been to Volksbier yet?
Volksbier?
Both of you guys.
I have. Travis Kaufman.
I have been. My kids go to school around the corner, yes, I have.
Another competition!
They are very, German focused beer, and I think they're making great stuff
right now.
We should
go there after. Let's go there after. I guess the show is winding down.
But why are we drinking pils at the Oktoberfest show in the end?
Because we were talking about pils.
Yeah, because this is one of my favorite styles. I love this.
This is setting the bar.
Yeah, this is setting it really high. Yeah.
Let's wrap it up. Again, once again, everybody's Oktoberfest event.
So Munich on the East River. Don't miss it. It's almost sold out.
Starts this weekend. It's almost sold out. But Lars...
Right, if it's already sold out, come to the Brau Schmitz Oktoberfest, October 20th, 21st, and 22nd in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. and try some good authentic German craft.
Can I come to these things? I'm going to be there.
Absolutely.
Okay. And you're going to come back on soon, Katarina, with Brian Wingate from Barkade.
Yes.
We're going to talk more about the New York City beer scene. This is a really great show. 2 weeks in a row, we talked a little about German beer styles and Oktoberfest, which have influenced me a lot. I'm still not 100% sold on Oktoberfest in New York City. I guess because it's so warm. You know, your beer styles are meant for the brisk chill of the Alpine Hills.
Don't worry, it will come. This is our fourth year of Munich on the East River, and we always had one really horrible, cold, rainy weekend. It will be there again.
We pray for the cold, rainy weekend. All right. And big shout out to everyone again, Sylvester, Katarina, and Lars for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network.
Thanks for having us.
Big shout out again. Thanks to our sponsors, Union Beer Distributors, producer Justin Kennedy, and engineer with all the sounds and effects, David Tadish.
Bravo.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio.
And Mina.
Yodel, 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 yodel.
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 Yodel. Yodel. Yodel.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.